Welcome to Castorbius. I'm Christian Corley, and it's solo again. This is essentially a new weekly format that we're doing, which we are then going to enhance and augment with the longer shows between myself and James, or myself and a guest, or James and a guest, as a mix-up of those, that kind of dynamic. James and I do have some chats planned, and once things settle down in the James sphere, be unifying our spheres, like a Venn diagram of Christian and James, and then that middle ellipse will be us talking about various things to do with things that we like. Now, you may have gathered from the opening number there.
It's the Muppet Show.
From the opening there, that we have a Doctor Who element to this week's edition. And I'm going to get on to that, a bit of Doctor Who news, and loads of other interesting stuff. We've got a bit of Thunderbirds. We've got some more missing stuff that has been rediscovered. We've even got an interesting DVD release coming up, and a book that has fallen into the public domain that looks very interesting. So we're also going to be having a chat about that. Now, before we get on to any of that, I just want to tell you once again about the Patreon, because it is a very important element of what we're doing. Now, the Patreon is the home of new episodes of Castorbius. Every episode will go up first on the Patreon. So, for example, today's Wednesday, October the 16th. This episode will be going out later on today. Patreon.com/Castorbius. And you don't have to pay for this. This is free. Our Patreon is free because our Patreon is a hub of supportive fans of this podcast. You know, we've been going since 2007. We have definitely done over 500 editions. And I'm in the process, which is another reason for me to talk to you about Patreon. I'm in the process of remastering and, in some cases, uploading editions that haven't been online for around a decade, certainly half a decade. And I mean, I don't know why they're not online, but that is the case. There's the period from before we joined Audio Boom, which currently hosts our podcasts. So that was around 2013, 2014. So there's strictly speaking, 7 years, but of that, maybe so 3 or 4 years of full podcasts that aren't online. Now, I've started the process of bringing them online. Some of them are now online. You'll be able to find them in your RSS feed or whatever service you use to listen to podcasts if you scroll back far enough. And there are interesting conversations in those, and some of them have interviews in them as well. So it's you don't want those things lost. I mean, we're kind of moving into that area of the whole missing archive material. And we're in an age where the Internet Archive itself has been knocked offline by bad actors, let's call them. And I'm not talking about extras and EastEnders. So, and getting things where people can see them, where people can access them, and where people can enjoy them and experience them, I think is increasingly important, especially in an age where, you know, just in this past week, we're finding that certain digital stores are basically telling people that they don't own their video games, even though they've paid extortionate prices for the video games. They don't actually own them. If they bought them digitally, they simply own the right to play them, a right that can be withdrawn at any point, which is absolutely mind-blowing. I mean, that's, you know, as they used to say, Dick Turpin wore a mask. So, having things available to you guys to access is an important element of what we're doing now. And I think it very much chimes in with some of the material that we're talking about in previous weeks in the solo show, and going forward as well, certainly this week. So, with all of that in mind, do please support us. Patreon.com/Castorbius. You get everything early. It's free. You may up your subscription to a paid option to get a free some freebies, some special gifts just for the paid tiers. But the podcast is free on Patreon, and it goes out early, and you might even get some extra material that way as well. And that sound effect, appropriately enough, brings us to a big Doctor Who story. Shuti Gatwa was appearing on the Graham Norton show last week, but the televised version of the interview misses out a key aspect of the discussion. When he was asked about Doctor Who, Gatwa said that he was filming the third series next year. But that statement has been removed from the broadcast version. And clearly, people are wondering what's going on. In the latest issue of Doctor Who magazine, Russell T. Davies confirmed that Disney will not decide to renew its funding deal with BBC Studios until after the second series starring Gatwa airs, which is likely to be next summer. So, are they shooting a new season next year or are they not? We don't know. And this has got a few Doctor Who fans in their usual state of panic, and it's kind of big news on the Daily Mirror's website, or as we call it nowadays, the Mirror website. So I'll drop a link to that in the show notes, and you can check out for yourself and make up your own mind. Apparently, Disney's input into Doctor Who is thought to be £100 million, which is absolutely incredible money. I don't believe that's been publicly stated, but that is the figure that it's believed to be. A pullout by Disney could result in things going back to how they were, maybe even a reduction in episode count, etc. The question would have to be, of course, why would Disney want to pull out? And if that's the case, and that could raise all sorts of awkward questions of the direction of Doctor Who under Russell T. Davies, certainly since the anniversary episode aired. Another conversation for another podcast, of course. But if you have any thoughts on that, do let us know. I'd be very interested to have a chat with James about this at some point in the future. Disney has its own problems, so it may be that there's no commitment because there's all this stuff going on with Disney that they don't want to be investing in third-party stuff. That could be entirely, it could be nothing to do with Doctor Who at all. It could be something to do with Star Wars, something to do with the MCU and the televised MCU material. Difficult to put your finger on that. But it may be, regardless what that is, it may be that it has an impact on Doctor Who going forward. Now, well, we did a little bit of music last time around concerning a graphic novel by one of Def Leppard, actually called Def Leppard Hysterium, based on the Hysteria album, which is absolutely mind-blowing that such a thing exists. But then again, this is a world that has graphic novels featuring Kiss and Alice Cooper and various other rock bands. So perhaps it's not such a surprise after all. Now, one band who probably deserve a mention on shows like this anyway is the Beatles. Now, you are probably aware of the Beatles documentary that was produced and directed by Peter Jackson of Lord of the Rings and the Hobbit fame. This was the Beatles Get Back, which it was a many-hour-long documentary that used footage that was recorded way back in 1969-1970 sort of time for the Let It Be. It was also supposed to be a movie, and it was eventually released as a documentary at the time, but it was kind of considered to be unpopular. So Peter Jackson's version, which was three episodes totaling 468 minutes, which pretty standard for Peter Jackson movie really, that was critically acclaimed. Now, there's a new documentary coming out, an all-new documentary from Martin Scorsese and David Tedeschi, streaming on Disney Plus from November the 29th. This is Beatles 64, which captures the electrifying moment of the Beatles' first visit to America and features never-before-seen footage of the band and their fans. It's been restored in 4K by the Park Road Post team in New Zealand, and it has live performances from the Beatles' first American concert at the Washington DC Coliseum and their Ed Sullivan appearances, which have been remixed by Wingnut Films and, beg your pardon, they were demixed by Wingnut Films and then remixed by Giles Martin. This is going to be a really significant release for the Beatles in a few weeks' time, so it's very interesting to see that this old footage of probably the most filmed band of all time, there's been sort of laying around in sort of a scratchy condition in old cans and containers is being remastered and given this loving treatment. It provides a useful sort of, I think, a look at those times from a new angle. And it's, I'm really looking forward to seeing this. And, you know, as I've been saying with these new weekly shows, if I'm interested in it, I'm guessing that you probably will be as well. And coinciding with that release, the American editions of Beatles albums are being reissued with an analog cut for 180-gram audiophile vinyl based on the original mono masters. These are coming out on November the 22nd. Full details of all of this, obviously, will be in the show notes. I seem to be suffering with some of the buttons today, but anyway, we'll skip all of that. Thunderbirds is a show that we haven't really talked about much over the entire history of Castorbis, which is a shame because, you know, it's kind of an important TV show. Both, obviously, the puppet version and its model work is very important, but also the CGI version is pretty good as well. Now, a collection of unseen Thunderbirds films have been found in a garden shed in Buckinghamshire. Can you believe this? So the family found the cans. These are light, tight containers to protect the films. They found it in a Buckinghamshire shed belonging to their father, who was an editor on the original Thunderbirds TV shows. The cans have been passed over to Century 21 Films. There's 22 of them. And their representative, Stephen La Riviere, has told the BBC the condition was difficult to establish, but clearly the majority of it was Thunderbirds. Every night I'd get a link for a download of the latest one that had been scanned. You'd never know what you'd get, he says. Now, it turns out that there is one that is an alternative edit of an existing episode which had a previously unseen scene. So essentially, this is new, this is lost Thunderbirds material that has been rediscovered, which is fantastic. Now, while I'm talking about Thunderbirds and the whole sort of Anderson sphere, if you like, you may know, you may not know, that Gerry Anderson's son, Jamie Anderson, now looks after all of that material. He basically nurtures and caresses, maybe. I don't know. No, let's not go there. He nurtures and protects the world of Gerry Anderson. Some of you may recall Jamie Anderson from from 30 Years in the TARDIS back in 1993, where he was revealed to be a Doctor Who fan rather than a fan of supermarination. But yeah, he's very fully on with the Gerry Anderson world these days. And there is a series of Gerry Anderson Universe audio adventures that you should probably check out. These are audiobook recordings from the Anderson Audio Adventures. Currently available are a couple of installments from the Stingray Monster from the Deep audiobook. I'll give you the show notes link to that. And whilst we're on the topic as well, we should probably have a quick mention for the legendary David Graham. Jamie Anderson was one of the first people to mention this on Twitter. David Graham, famously a voice actor of Parker in Thunderbirds, but he did so much more than that, that even starting a list of his voice work now would take us to the end of this podcast, and I've got a lot more to get through. Suffice to say, Doctor Who fans will know David Graham from his 1960s Dalek appearances, and younger viewers and listeners will know his voice from Peppa Pig, where he played Grandpa Pig, and Ben and Holly's Little Kingdom, where he played the wise old elf. Marvellous stuff. Here's a clip.
And they seem to like the voice, and the voice is based on a waiter at a pub in Cookham where Gerry took me when he was planning the series, and he said, I'd like you to hear this wine waiter. And he called him over, and he said, would you like to see the wind, sir? And Parker was born.
Okay, and whilst we're on the topic of children's TV and missing stuff, Kaleidoscope, which is a group on Facebook, has confirmed Film is Fabulous and De Montfort University Cinema and History Research Centre co-effort of recovering old TV, they found an episode of Play School from the 12th of August 1965. That is nearly 60 years ago. And the fact that it's lost and has been recovered, again, you know, this isn't even something that lots of people sat down to watch on a Saturday night. This is something that a few kids would have watched on a weekday, morning or afternoon. It's a black and white episode, and it was presented by Marion Diamond and Rick Jones. Marion Diamond appeared in 61 episodes of Play School between 64 and 67, but only six of her episodes had survived prior to this discovery. Rick Jones presented 447 shows between 1964 and 1973, making him the seventh longest serving presenter of that show. So yeah, that has been recovered. Now, I was a little bit dubious as to whether or not to cover missing TV discoveries when I started doing these solo shows. I thought maybe it was something that we'd maybe get two episodes out of. This is the third one on the trot, and half of last week's show was about lost material being rediscovered. So I think that decision has possibly been vindicated. Okay, I'm going to move on to a couple of more interestingly present things now. First of all, there is an upcoming 4K Blu-ray release of Wallace and Gromit, The Collection. This is a collection of four cracking half-hour specials featuring A Grand Day Out, The Wrong Trousers, A Close Shave, and A Matter of Loaf and Death, and a ton of extras with them. So you notice that A Curse of the Were-Rabbit is not there, and that's because its rights are basically with DreamWorks, whereas these four items are BBC productions, and this is a BBC release. And this is coming out later this year. You should be able to pick it up from November the 25th. That's Wallace and Gromit, The Collection, 4K UHD. And yeah, so that's great. It has, as I mentioned, various extras. The Amazing World of Wallace and Gromit, Inside the Wrong Trousers, A Close Shave, How They Did It, The Making of A Matter of Loaf and Death, How They Donut, When Wallace Met Harvey, A Picture Gallery, Some Invention Blueprints, A Grand Night In, The Story of Aardman, and Cracking Contraptions. I don't know about you, but that's already on my Amazon wish list because I love Wallace and Gromit, and Aardman Animations and Nick Park are amazing. That has definitely got to be on the Christmas list this year. Now, if you're somebody who prefers maybe a night out, how do you feel about an evening with Fred Dinage, the former How presenter? Fred Dinage's How to Survive 60 Years in TV. Do you see what he's done with the title there? Is a touring show in which Fred explains his time working in broadcasting. Yeah, it's a career spanning six decades. And throughout his illustrious career, he's had an association with Southern Television and its subsequent incarnations as TVS and Meridian. You may recall him in How and How To, or Tell the Truth, or as the face of the news on Coast to Coast and Meridian Tonight for ITV Meridian. The show features Fred taking you on an enjoyable journey through magnificent moments and broadcasting blusters. And you'll hear fascinating stories from behind the scenes of his many shows. Some will entertain and surprise you. There's black and white, and there's colour, and there's recently found archive treasures from the Beatles, Morecambe and Wise, Sid James, and Crossroads Noel Gordon, and many more. Now, as I say, this is a touring show. Now, and for the first time, Fred will also share the truth behind the moments when it wasn't always all right on the night with his hand-picked bloopers and gaffes. Now, some of these are afternoon shows, some of them are evening shows. You will find a link to the tour page for Fred Dinage's How to Survive 60 Years in TV in the show notes, and then you can see if there's anything going on near you and book your tickets to see it. Now, I'm going to finish off with this curiosity that popped up in my Google feed, which is an essay called Aspiring to a Higher Plane by Ian Stewart concerning a now out of copyright book, which is now it's in the public domain, called Flatland, A Romance of Many Dimensions. I find this utterly intriguing. Now, this essay came out in 2011, so it's not new, but it's a very interesting look at what the book is, Flatland. I'll give you a quick brief overview by quoting from this essay. On the surface and the setting, the imaginary world of Flatland is a surface, an infinite Euclidean plane. The book is a straightforward narrative about geometrically shaped beings that live in a two-dimensional world. You've got Square, an ordinary sort of chap who undergoes a mystical experience of visitation by the mysterious sphere from the third dimension, who carries him to new worlds and geometries. And inspired by evangelical zeal, he strives to convince his fellow citizens that the world is not limited to the two dimensions accessible to their senses, and then falls foul of religious authorities and ends up in jail. There is so much in that description that resonates with current times and the human condition and our philosophies. I think it's a very interesting prospect to revisit the book, Flatland, A Romance of Many Dimensions. And I don't know about you, but I'm going to do that. I'll give you the link in the show notes. Now, that is the end of this week's Castorbris. I'm going to be back next week with another one of these. If you're on Patreon, you've got this edition early. If you're not on Patreon, go to patreon.com/Castorbris, join for free, you get stuff early, and you also get the extended editions. So I'll be back for another edition of the podcast next week. And remember, those extra shows I've been telling you about, the interviews that myself and James have been doing, they're going to be in addition to what you're hearing now, because we're building this up. Okay, so look forward to the next one of these, and look out for James discussing Red Dwarf, and for me discussing The Box of Delights with our interview guests. Until then, it's goodbye from me.
It's like they always say, to get your own way, turn them into a frog.
That doesn't even rhyme. It's a silly plan.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is. And I absolutely forbid you to...